Welcome to From Out of the City for the week of June 23rd, 2006. This is William F. DeVault, the romantic poet of the internet, coming to you live on the internet. Okay, not live, but semi-live. Actually, not even semi-live. Yes, this is a recording, but I made the recording myself, and at the time I made it, it was live. So, get off my back. This week, we're going to celebrate something that most of you out there will go, huh? This week is West Virginia Day. Well, West Virginia Day is this week, June 20th, 2006. And I'll be reading at the Barnes & Noble in Morgantown, West Virginia, in honor of that occasion, and to celebrate the release of the West Virginia Encyclopedia, which, by the way, I'm not in, so this is an act totally of charity on my part to be pimping this book. Why I'm not in it? Who knows? But to quote a very wise man, who I happen to be, the existence of a single atheist does not disprove the existence of God. Just because somebody doesn't know who I am, or just because somebody leaves me out of their book, doesn't mean I quit being who I am. Never let that affect me. Never going to let that affect me. 30 or 40 years from now, they'll have plenty of time to clean up their messes. Anyway, this week is West Virginia Day, and Tuesday night I am going to be reading on the 20th at Barnes & Noble. And many of the pieces I'm going to be doing are from my book, The Morgantown Sweet Poems. So I thought that this week I would do some pieces from that book, talk about them a little bit, talk about the influences. Now, what is my relation to the state of West Virginia? Well, it's fairly straightforward. My mother and my father both came from the Morgantown area. My father was in the Air Force, and so I was born in Greenville, South Carolina. I was raised all over the country, but when I was about 11 or 12, my dad retired. We moved back to Morgantown, so I spent most of my junior high, all of my high school, and some of my early 20s here in Morgantown, total of about 12 or 13 years. I moved away, primarily to the Washington, D.C. area for about a decade and a half. Then I moved to the West Coast and then bounced back and forth for a bit. But if I had to pick one place that has been home to me, it is Morgantown, West Virginia. This is where I came of age. This is where I became socially adapted. This is where I had my first kiss, my first serious romance. This is where I met the woman who was my first wife. This is where my daughter was born. All of these things go into making Morgantown my home. I was very flattered 2 years ago when the Appalachian Education Initiative put me in their book Art and Soul, which is a magnificent book of 50 outstanding creative artists from the state of West Virginia. Some of them, you can guess, are from the state. Some of them will surprise you. I'm talking about a range of people everywhere from Homer Hickam to Jennifer Garner, from Brad Paisley to Ann Magnuson, from Don Knotts, who also hails from Morgantown, to another Morgantinian by the name of Lawrence Kasdan, who not only wrote the screenplay for Raiders to the Lost Ark, but he also wrote and directed such pictures as The Big Chill, Grand Canyon, and Silverado. So it's a pretty nice crowd to be included with, and I was very grateful to the Appalachian Education Initiative for having included me in that book. If you're interested at all in getting a copy of that book, it is available on the internet. You can go to their site at www.appalachianeducationinitiative.org. And the entire concept behind the book is to drive awareness that creative artists do come out of West Virginia, and that arts education in our schools are extremely, is extremely. Well, I have a couple English teachers who would beat me for that mess up. Arts education in our schools is extremely important. Just a year and a half ago, I testified before the Board of Education here in West Virginia about the necessity of what I call a full-spectrum education. I think that if we do not give our students all aspects of an education, even in the elementary, middle school, and high school years, we run the risk of creating a worker class, individuals who, yes, can clean our bedpans and, yes, can fix our carburetors, but do not have the broad education necessary to be fully functioning members of our culture, our society, and really our political apparatus. So There's my little plug for education. The book itself, The Morgantown Sweet Poems, is available through Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com and for order through your local bookstore. It's unusual in my books in that instead of focusing on the romantic or metaphysical aspects of my writings, it's anchored in Morgantown. A few years back when I was on tour doing the Love Gods of a Forgotten Religion tour back in 2002, Megan King Johnson, who at that time was the head of Arts Monongahela, arranged some venues in the Morgantown area, and I indeed ended up reading in Morgantown for the first time in over 20 years. Part of that experience, I took some time and I wandered around Morgantown, went to spots that had meaning to me, and wrote some works based on my impressions and the emotional resonances that came to me. I later added a few other pieces to that and put out this book, and all monies that this book makes goes to Arts Monongahela and their projects. So please, don't hesitate to buy a copy. I'm not getting rich off it, I can assure you of that. I don't see a penny of it. The first poem I'm going to do from the Morgantown Sweet Poems is called I Will Walk These Streets Again. And it was written at the time when I was thinking about actually reading in Morgantown for the first time, as I said, in about two decades. I will walk these streets again, roads that seemed irrelevant to a young man, now lined with memories and mysteries and questions not yet answered, still hanging on lips I never kissed, or kissed once too often for redemption. Here is where I saw the savage sun cut through clouds of sweat and stench that wrench the soul and seal control of destinies for a generation or more. And all the shadows faded in the light, night coming to mark their passing later. Here is where I watched the shifting moon rise and smile and hide me in the blue hues of thoughts made fantasies, made events I will not relinquish, even unto the next sphere, where there will not be more than a thought caught on the spindles of the evening stars. Streets of brick, of stone, of dirt, and paved to the end of the moment. Hills higher than dreams, dreams darker than clouds, clouds thicker than blood, blood softer than promises long forgotten and gone, on beyond the very furthest reach of all you teach and taught and fought for in my shallow youth. I will walk these streets again and see faces I have not seen, since I was barely budding in a garden already crested with petals and leaves and thorns I have not worn or wandered on in too long, songs lost to the winds that came from the whims of women and men and boys and girls that walked here as well. As you can tell from that piece, I was not divided in my feelings towards coming to read in Morgantown. I recognize this is where my roots lie. A lot of people express surprise finding out that I am from this area. Indeed, Michael Paxton, a very accomplished artist who's currently based in Chicago, who is one of the other artists mentioned in the Art and Soul book, and I had occasion to talk not that long ago, and he pointed out that he's found to some degree when you move away from your hometown and then come back years later having become accomplished, there's a certain knee-jerk, almost fear. It's an alienation. We chalked it up to the notion that parents aren't real crazy about somebody going away, becoming successful, then coming back and encouraging their kids to move away. Whatever it is, you do become something of an outsider no matter how hard you try to come home. And it's something that's very palpable to me and on occasion very painful. I never felt I fit in as a young man. Certainly when I was working in L.A. and Salinas, California and Washington, D.C., I certainly didn't identify myself heavily as a West Virginian. But this is where my family and my roots come from. This is where some of the key years of my education and development were spent. And certainly, I would be intellectually dishonest if I didn't say there was impact on me in that regard. I never do a read anymore, particularly in the Morgantown area, but what somebody wants me to do, this next poem called First Date Blues. I was, and to some degree remain, painfully shy with women. I never knew how to approach them. My first faltering attempts were clumsy, and more often than not, I got shot out of the saddle. And so when I was putting together this book, I went by Morgantown High School, and I was reminded of all the times I just... I had the date from hell more than once. So let's say the dates from hell. And I wrote this piece, which is entirely true. Every vignette in it is true. Painfully so. So any of you guys listening out there who goes, oh man, I just had an awful date. Listen to this. If you can beat these four, yeah, you've got it rough. But you know what? You bounce back. The name of this poem is First Date Blues. I have the first date blues because the girl I choose to ask out already has a guy who doesn't take kindly to skinny, four-eyed know-it-alls hitting on his girl. So Monday morning at the bus stop will be pretty normal. I have the first date blues because the girl I choose to ask out didn't show up. And when I call her, she tells me she didn't remember and not to call anymore. So Monday morning in English class will be pretty normal. I have the first date blues because the girl I choose to ask out has a brother who thinks it funny that anyone would ask his sister out, and he has a big mouth. So the rest of this semester, the laughter in the halls will be pretty normal. I have the first date blues because the girl I asked to the prom has to cancel because she's pregnant with her ex-boyfriend's baby, and she has to leave town. So the rest of my senior year at Morgantown High will be pretty normal for me. There was this girl in some of my classes at Morgantown High. I won't give her name. She's still out there someplace, and remarkably, she doesn't look much different than she did in high school. And, I don't want to put her on the defensive. But her dad was a local minister, and so she was a PK, a preacher's kid. And she would wear proper preacher's kid attire to school, and I remember this one wool skirt she had that was like mid-calf. The midi length was very big that year. But it had buttons up the front, and she'd get to school and immediately unbutton about half the buttons. So as she walked, it would be about mid-thigh. And she was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And when I was putting together the book, I had to write a poem about her. I just had to. So here's a poem from the Morgantown Suite Poems called PK. There ought to be a law against a preacher's kid that hot. The sins she spins with but a smile remind me that I'm not supposed to be considering those long and tawny legs. But that question is not all that her mere presence seeks to beg. I know she feels the pressure of the title she must bear, while the boys who sit around her contemplate her underwear. And she is placed between the rock and hardened place to dwell, betwixt the blue horizon and the vivid shades of hell. She smiles and comments on her plight and takes it all in stride, though I could only guess at the mess she is inside. Placed in between the duty and the booty to endure, the legacy of mortality, uncertain and unsure. You'll note in that poem the reference to the phrase blue horizon. There was a drive-in. It's now a flea market. There was a drive-in just outside of Morgantown called the Blue Horizon. Back then we had drive-ins all over the place. The Maple Leaf, the Westover, the Blue Horizon. And those were the places that couples would go to spend some quality time away from their parents. But anyway, if you're out there, PK, yeah, I went ahead and read that poem. So enjoy. The next piece I'm going to do, since I've done PK, I might as well do for C. That's the letter C. C was a young lady I knew in high school. Well, let's not say knew. I was aware of. She was one of the prettiest girls in the school. She came from what seemed to be a privileged background. Undeniably hot. Undeniably hot. And I have to admit, I had a certain crush on her, shall we say. Poets are never supposed to have crushes. We're supposed to be enamored. But this was when I was a teenager. So yeah, crush is fine. And just a few years ago, upon returning to Morgantown, I actually made her acquaintance. Her family actually knows my family. And we've had some nice talks. And she's a very nice person. And she still got it after all these years. So I wrote this poem about her. And she was just completely blown away by it. And I know she's got an autographed copy of this book now. I guess so she can show everybody and say, hey, look, somebody wrote a poem about me. But anyway, here comes the poem for C. Suddenly you've been promoted to about the speed of light, a bright, brisant spark that harkens memories, buried like the old yearbook you didn't sign, as I was too shy and in awe of the all-too-perfect incarnation of whatever of the muses-dominated dance. Avatars are not meant to be touched, but thought upon quite oft, and remembered soft, with a pleasant smile of fond recall. For the final piece this week, I chose an odd one. It's called Matthew 10:14. Yes, go grab your Bibles, look it up. This was a poem I wrote at a time when I honestly thought I was just going to walk away, never look back. Never be back in Morgantown, be a part of Morgantown, or want to be a part of it. I felt alienated. I felt separated from it. And even though my relationship with Morgantown has been described by at least one writer as extremely dysfunctional, it's still my relationship with Morgantown. And I had to get over myself and get over this. But here it is. The dust from my feet, falling back from whence it came, as I take back my peace and shame, every building, every street, for the sins of the indifferent. I'll not linger where there is no sense of welcome, no place by the fire to become my corner, the place I dare spend moments I can never repent. Show me to the gate, that I may now seek solace in dark and endless wilderness, and a most uncertain fate, no trace or trail to show where I went. So there you have it, in honor of the week in which we will find West Virginia Day, some of the selections from my book, The Morgantown Suite Poems. You're welcome to go online and do a little research about the book and about this town, this city. Home of West Virginia University, and it's not a bad place. Go Mountaineers. We're supposed to finish in the top 5 this year in football. Hope we do it. Anyway, once again, this is William F. DeVault, the romantic poet of the internet, wishing you and yours a fantastic week, and wherever your hometown is, wherever your city is, recognize the fact that you'll always be a part of it. Recognize the fact that there'll always be a home. The shoe may not always fit exactly the way you want it to fit, but it'll always be your shoe. Take care and God bless.